Justice Davis, how are you?
I'm great, Tony. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Tell me, well, what's it like to sit on that bench?
Well, it's very interesting. I'm impressed with the array of cases that present themselves to the court and to the with the complexity of some of the subject matter that they have to deal with. It's a great opportunity. It's a great challenge, and I'm very much looking forward to my continued term there.
Well, I'm probably an idiot, but there's been a couple of occasions that I've just walked into the building and went and sat down and listened to a couple of cases just to get a feel for what's going on. The one thing that I do notice is that it's quiet in those in that courtroom, and I have never heard as much attention paid to detail in a courtroom as I have there.
Well, that is the business of judging, is to pay attention to the detail and to try and get the solutions correct at the first opportunity. And you're right, it's quiet. I sometimes refer to the judicial halls and the judicial chambers as the monastery. It's very quiet.
Well, let's talk about your situation and
sure.
The way that you were appointed. There was somewhat of an uproar when Justice Elizabeth Weaver announced her resignation, and then you were appointed, and it was stated by many factions that that was kind of a backdoor deal, that there was no process, no one else was involved. There was a huge outcry from the media, and I wanted you to be able to give your take on what happened. Can you take us way back when you were approached about taking this position and how that worked out?
Sure. I don't think there was a great outcry by the media, Tony. In fact, most of the media outlets pointed out that this was a standard appointment process. The timing of Elizabeth Weaver's retirement prior to the conventions and quite late in the season took people, I think, unexpectedly, but that was for her to decide. I mean, it's up to somebody who still has time left on the court if they decide to retire when they're going to retire. So I had very little to do with that. But basically, Elizabeth Weaver determined that she finally was ready to retire. She had thought she was going to retire about 5 years ago, about the time I went on the Court of Appeals, and then she changed her mind and decided not to. She told me back in the midwinter that she was contemplating retiring, and that if, in fact, she retired, and of course I had no control over whether she did or she didn't, she thought that it would be appropriate to maintain a position on the court, if at all possible, with somebody from Northern Michigan, so that there would be a different perspective other than the kind of below 8 mile residents that occupy the court to have a seat there. And so I said, well, that's fine. She asked me if I was interested. I said I didn't know. I had to talk to my family about it because I liked what I was doing. I did talk to them. They said you should do it, and I determined that if the opportunity presented itself, I would do it, even though I knew that meant that I had to face election almost immediately. And then much later on in the spring, she came back around again and asked me if I'd thought about it, and I said, sure. She said, well, if I decide, are you interested? And I said, yes, I'm interested, if, you know, the governor's interested. And then I didn't hear any more again from her until apparently after she had a meeting with the governor, which I think was in June, where they discussed the possibility that she would retire, but she still hadn't decided. I went out to my fishing place in the West and fished the last part of July, and had to be back in August for a judges conference at Mackinac Island. And I got a call out there that Justice Weaver felt that she had determined she wanted to retire, but she wanted to wait till after the primary for some reason. And then after the primary results were announced, she told me that she wanted to visit with Mr. Snyder because he'd prevailed before she made any final decision. I just kept saying, fine, you know, you let me know when you come to some conclusion, and in the meantime, I'm going to keep fishing, which is what I did. And when I got back to Michigan, probably about 4 or 5 days prior to the announcement, she concluded finally that, yes, indeed, she was going to retire. And at about that time, the governor called me and asked me if I would accept the appointment in that circumstance. I said I would, and we made the announcement.
Well, I don't want you to get in Justice Weaver's business. We happen to have her in studio here, and
good.
She had voiced a lot of concerns about the money that was being given to other Supreme Court justices in their campaigns and some other issues that had really upset her. And it's I've read that she was about to she had been accused by some other justices of some actions, and that she was going to be in front of a hearing because of those, and that's why she quit. So that's how you ended up in your position. Do you have any reaction to that?
She said that?
No, she didn't.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No.
Absolutely not. Anytime she ever discussed with me the referral, you know, it wasn't even a referral. It wasn't a proper referral. It was some kind of a letter they sent to the Judicial Tenure Commission. Every time she ever mentioned that to me, she said she couldn't wait to get over there and talk about it. So she wasn't the slightest bit concerned about that. Actually, I can tell you, Justice Weaver just gave a speech that she intended for public consumption, and she posted it up on YouTube. And it's, I think you could find it under Justice Weaver. You could find it under the title Fit to Serve. And I would strongly suggest to your listeners, if they're interested, that they go there and listen to what she has to say. I think they'd find it interesting.
Well, there have been some justices say some negative things about Justice Weaver. What's the vibe like with the other justices that you serve with? Is it good working conditions? Do you get along? Do you agree to disagree in a friendly manner?
Here's what I've said about that, Tony. From the time I started, I said job one is to return civility and professionalism to that court, because it is a profession. We are expected to act in a professional manner. We have not been, and it's a disgrace to the bar. It's a disgrace to the bench. It's unacceptable to the people of the state of Michigan. So the first day I got there, I said to my colleagues, listen, I'm the new kid. Let's put the past in the past. Let's start from here and go forward. My grandmother always said to me, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. And if nothing else, at least we'll shorten up some of these opinions and getting written out of here. And they kind of chuckled about that, but from that day forward, things have been cordial, they have been professional, and they've been civil in our discourse and in our conversations. We have some sharp differences of opinion as to how things should be, but they have been expressed in an appropriate way.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Justin Alton Thomas Davis from the Michigan Supreme Court. Justice Davis, I would think that any justice would run unattached to a political party.
Mm-hmm.
You are, some are not. Mm-hmm. Why run unattached, and what's your thought on that?
Well, the Constitution of the state of Michigan says that the judges are supposed to be nonpartisan. Now, at every level, the trial court and the court of appeals, before you get to the Supreme Court, the judges run exclusively on a nonpartisan ballot. They do it by circulating petitions, or if they're an incumbent, they sign their name, you know, that they're going to run again. When you get to the Supreme Court level, the Constitution deviates from that and says, oh, no, you got to be nominated by a party. So then you have to designate a party affiliation, if only for a weekend, in order to get a nomination at a convention. And then you come out the other side and you run nonpartisan again. And I think it gives people whiplash. And I think it breeds some real cynicism among the public. But that's the way the deal was set up in 1963. And I think that it's something that needs to be examined, and we probably need to do something different about that. Now, why do some people then come out and pretty strongly adhere to a party affiliation? It's because that's a base for them, and it gives them the support they need, either financial or otherwise.
Do you take money from any political parties or any action committees?
I do not take money from a political party that I'm aware of. I don't think so. I don't know what you mean by action committees. I do not get involved in the finances in my campaign very deliberately. I have people that raise money, and they do what they do. And if I've got gas in the tank in the car and I got enough money to buy my lunch with, I'm all right.
Let's allow you to get up on your stump. You have the audience. We're listening. Why should we vote for you on November 2nd?
Well, here's what I intend to do if I'm elected. As I said, job one is returning civility and professionalism to the court, and I think I've already made a start on that. The other thing that I want to do is return that court to what I'm calling a law court, not a political court. I think far too many decisions have been made on the basis of a political agenda there by people in a position to do it, and that needs to change. My training comes from the trial court. I was a circuit court judge for 21 years, and then 5 years on the Court of Appeals before I got to the Michigan Supreme Court. So I'm actually the most experienced both in length of time and variety of service of any candidate running for the Supreme Court this year. My view is that the cases should be decided on their facts as they've been established, on the law as it exists, and the judges should give an impartial, non-biased opinion which is a reasoned decision. And by that, I mean a decision that even if you lost it, later after you get over the disappointment of losing, you can look at it and say, well, I might not agree with the judge, but I know how the judge got there. I can see what he did or she did. I think if we can do that, people will accept the judgments of the court. Then there's one other big piece that I'd like to work on in an eight-year term. I have always been involved in court administration and trying to improve how the system works. It's particularly critical that we do that now, given the economic constraints in Michigan. We're going to have less public resources to spend on public services. So the state bar and the judges know that. They've been involved in a task force for a year trying to figure out from stem to stern how we can do it better in four areas, how the court should be structured and paid for, how we can use technology better, what impact we can have on business to help them out, and what we can do to improve access to justice for the general public. And they just had their final meeting yesterday. That's where I was yesterday morning, Lansing, before I left. And the recommendation should be coming out here just about in a month, I would guess, a month or so. And then we're going to go to work on implementing those things. And I think to be able to sit in a position at the Supreme Court and to get out and help with that would be a great capstone to my career and kind of the gift that I can give back for the honor that I've had of serving the people.
And Justice Davis, I have just a minute left.
Sure,
but,
I'm sorry.
But to go back to the people and entities that give money to campaigns, don't you think, and I'm not just talking about you, but any person running for public office should know where the money is coming from and who it's coming from?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are rules and from the Secretary of State's office that govern that, and I have a person that's called a compliance officer, so that we know that if anybody's donating money, it's appropriate. But the problem you get into, the more I know about the money, the more I'm subject to somebody saying, well, okay, now he's influenced by the money, and I don't want any part of that.
All right, Justice Davis, I appreciate the conversation.
Sure.
I'm going to call you again because I want to talk to you about how a justice could separate himself from what he may feel or what he may think, maybe what even the people who voted him into office, and separate that from judging different cases. Thanks.
I'd love to have that conversation. And can I just refer the people to my webpage?
Absolutely.
JusticeDavis.com if they want to see some more about me. And I'd happy to talk to you anytime, Tony.
Thank you, Justice.
Thank you. Have a good morning.